The big question, how's the American consumer doing?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. We're going to ask the big question now. It comes as the government posted some encouraging personal spending and income numbers. The Commerce Department today said spending was up 0.4% in August, and incomes rose 0.5%, both numbers better than expected. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch. She's with us, as she is every Friday, live from New York. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Didn't we get a consumer confidence report earlier this week? Tell me if I'm wrong here. That was pretty low. How do we square this spending report today that looks not so bad?
Well, you know, it's amazing. The Conference Board said the consumer confidence index dropped to the lowest level in 7 months. But you know what? For years, this index has been a pretty poor indicator of consumer behavior. That's why this income and spending report is so important. It reflects what people actually do, not what they say or how they feel. And the difference between the income and the spending number means that people have a little bit extra money to save.
So what people say and what they do are two different things. Okay. I want to talk about savings. Why are people saving more money? I mean, this is a downturn, right? They have more money to save?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Remember when the early 80s, our parents were telling us that they saved every dime of every dollar they made? They really did. Savings rate in the early 80s was 12%. It went negative for a couple of months in the mid-2000s. But the Great Recession has really shaken some sense into America. It's brought us back to the basics. They're paying down their debt. They're rebuilding their savings. And you know what, though? They've got a long way to go. We've got some reports that retirement savings are underfunded. But at least we're in the positive territory. We're rebuilding towards that 10% number. Just do what your parents say. You know, save the dime of every dollar you make.
Jill Schlesinger, a pretty optimistic report there, then, you think, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, from CBS Money Watch, we appreciate it. This weekend, the government winds down the Troubled Asset Relief Program. A lot of people thought TARP would cost taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars. But yesterday, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said it would wind up costing only about $50 billion at the most. Still, as TARP turns 2 years old this weekend, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, it's just as unpopular as a screaming toddler.
The TARP was passed by the Bush administration with the support of both Republicans and Democrats. Lawmakers were hoping to save the world from financial collapse, but they're not getting many thank yous right now from the American public.
In the end, we're still in kind of the same straits. So, as far as I can tell, it didn't work at all.
That's Michael Wilson in downtown Los Angeles. This is Kevin Trevor.
I think it did help somewhat, but it's really hard to measure whether they should have done more or should have done less.
Talk about backseat driving, and the frustration echoes from coast to coast. Here in New York, we found Johanna Wiener.
It didn't help the people that needed the help, as far as I know. I mean, because I truly don't know who's lying and who isn't lying, and it has made me very mistrusting.
Many economists believe TARP did stop the financial system from collapsing. Here's Mark Zandi, the chief economist at Moody's Analytics.
That was a slam dunk success. There was no aspect of the policy response to the financial panic or Great Recession that worked out better than the bank bailout.
So how did it get so unpopular? I asked Jonathan Alter, who wrote a book called The Promise, about the first year of the Obama presidency.
The question that a lot of Americans asked was, hey, where's my bailout? These rich guys are getting bailed out. Where's mine? And where's mine is the oldest question in politics.
And he says TARP is so complicated and it's changed so many times, most Americans can't keep up with it.
First of all, voters don't even know that most of the money's been paid back because they don't pay attention to things in that level of detail. And they have conflated, many of them, the TARP bailouts with the stimulus.
The Obama administration has tried to get its message across, but Alter says officials should have followed FDR's example. In his first fireside chat in 1933, he spent a few moments talking to the American public about banking. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
To see how much money has been dished out from TARP and what's been returned, check out our website, marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. Good economic news in China and Japan today, keeping stocks higher worldwide. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow shed 47 points, down a bit, to close at 10,788.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
This weekend in Brazil, voters will be electing a new president. Whoever wins will be charged with leading one of the world's fastest-growing economies. Reporter Annie Murphy has more from Rio de Janeiro.
Widely favored to win this race is Dilma Rousseff, chief of staff for current president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Lula, as he's commonly called, is a former auto worker and union leader. During 2 terms in office, he's been moderate economically, comforting critics who initially compared him to Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Economist Marcelo Neri.
Caracas is not here in the sense that we respect market, but we have a strong social agenda.
Under Lula, Brazil's middle class has expanded rapidly. Economic growth is at a healthy 7% a year. Along with Dilma Rousseff, the 2 other main candidates are José Serra, the current mayor of Sao Paulo, and Marina da Silva, an environmentalist from the Amazon. Whoever wins isn't likely to stray far from the current economic program, but they'll have to address the widespread inequality that is still a source of concern here. In Rio de Janeiro, I'm Annie Murphy for Marketplace.
And finally, all the business news of the week in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
Europeans are mad because the budgets they had were wishful thinking and now they need shrinking. And who else is nervous? The Postal Service just failed to revamp the price of a stamp. And why are they broke? Well, it's easy to see. There's the pension they pay to a retiree. Plus, you don't need a letter to contact me. It's easy, reliable, instant, and free to put index finger to enter key once you type in marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.